It's NCAA Tournament Eve for BYU men's basketball. The Cougars have arrived in Omaha to prepare for their opening round matchup with Duquesne. What does BYU need to do amidst the madness to punctuate an historic season? We'll preview tomorrow's game with CBS analyst and college basketball insider Debbie Antonelli from Omaha, plus a live looking at BYU's practice today as the Cougars prepare for the Dukes. Let's go! Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Wednesday, March 20th. I am Spencer Linton, flying solo in Studio B today for a unique show format. Jerem Jordan is gathering interviews from BYU players in the Cougars locker room right now from Omaha, just before BYU takes the court to practice and prepare for Duquesne. In fact, the Dukes are on the floor right now getting ready, so Jerem will give us some insight to what he sees there from Day-Day Grant and some of the other notable players that the Dukes will bring in. A loaded show, to say the least. As mentioned just a moment ago, Debbie Antonelli will join us and speak with Jerem from the arena. If you remember, Debbie called the BYU-Kansas game from historic Fog Allen Fieldhouse, so she certainly knows a thing or two about what BYU is capable of, specifically away from Provo. Can't wait to hear what she thinks about this first-round matchup. Now, with that backdrop, lots to discuss. It's time to go. Rise and shout. Let's get right into what's trending. And keep in mind, there are a few things here as you consider how to answer what is a loaded question of the day, which is, what does BYU need to do in the NCAA tournament to adequately punctuate this memorable, unforgettable season that the Cougars have put together in year one of Big 12 play? Okay, a few things here before you just immediately blurt out your answer. Well, frankly, you can do what you want, and we invite you to do so on social media with the hashtag BYUSN on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Instagram. But as you answer this question, just bear with me and consider these things. It's been a rough road for BYU basketball to get to this point, and under Mark Pope, after some really frustrating final seasons in the West Coast Conference, and frankly, if you look back over the last decade, the tournament has not happened as often as you might think. It's been a rough road for the Cougars getting to the Big Dance and in the Big Dance when they get there in these few years in the last decade. So just kind of embrace what BYU has actually done to get there. In fact, this is just the fourth time in the last decade that BYU has heard their name called on Selection Sunday and been a part of the field. And it hasn't been kind to BYU once they've been in the tournament, really since the Jimmer Fredette era. I know the Sweet 16 run was magical in 2011. And then the Iona comeback, you're down 25 the following year, and BYU gets it done in the first four against Dayton. And then they get blown out by Marquette next game. We don't remember that because we focus on the Iona, but starting with that Marquette loss, then BYU goes into the tournament in 2014 after a one-year hiatus, and Kyle Collins tears his ACL in the West Coast Conference tournament. The Cougars, in a tough scenario, they get blown out by Oregon. The following year, BYU's got a big lead in the first four against Ole Miss, once again back in Dayton, only to watch that slip away, and then the tournament dream ends. We all remember what happened in the COVID scenario. The Cougars were pacing to be a sixth seed. They were the best three-point shooting team in the country. We never got to really see what that team was capable of in tournament play in 2020. So some really tough things right there. Once BYU finally did get back to the tournament in 2021, even then, strange COVID format. There were no fans. BYU got to go to Hinkle Fieldhouse and play on the campus of Butler University in Indianapolis. It was awesome for a lot of reasons, but the game was not awesome. UCLA went on a run to the Final Four, and that included beating BYU in the Cougars' first-round game. So, again, embrace what this is right now. It takes so much to even get to the tournament, but it has been tough on BYU. The Cougars are searching for their first tournament win in 12 years. Just think about that. It's been 12 years since BYU won an NCAA tournament game. I know, surreal there, okay? As I mentioned, the cup is full in many ways for what BYU has already accomplished this season. So let's revisit some of these notable things that the Cougars have taken care of. Yeah, in the Big 12, BYU finishes with 10 wins. They finish fifth in the conference above Kansas. Do you realize what BYU has done here? So it almost feels greedy to ask for more because BYU has been so good in Big 12 play. But you get UCF in the tournament, disappointment against Texas Tech. So having lost to Texas Tech, now BYU fans are like, I don't like that. I discussed the Cougars' bounce-back ability yesterday, and I think it's been well chronicled. Going back to what happened after the Houston loss, BYU beat Texas. After losses to Kansas State and Oklahoma State, BYU beat number 11 Baylor and number 7 Kansas. I think we should all feel good about what BYU's mentality will be with the natural chip on the shoulder as they go in to take on Texas Tech. Punctuation is the word of the day for sure, and that is where we're emphasizing our question of the day. So how does BYU need to adequately punctuate this season? Well, if you lose, I know, and I don't want to sound greedy, but if you lose to Duquesne, to me, and I love words and grammar and English, it feels like now you have an ellipsis or maybe a comma there, because it will always finish with, man, that was an awesome season, comma, but, or, and we don't want to be there. So I avoid the ellipsis or the comma at the end of this incredible season, because we'll all go to, yeah, that was awesome, but BYU lost to Texas Tech big in the Big 12 tournament. And then they lost in the first round and were upset by Duquesne. And Jerem Jordan, my counterpart, who will join the show from Omaha in just a little bit. In fact, we'll hear him talk to Debbie Antonelli in just a few minutes. He pointed out BYU wants to avoid a situation where the Cougars in 2001 in football, when Gary Croton's first year, they're 12-0. It's incredible. The Cougars are a top 10 team. Luke Staley's the Doak Walker Award winner. BYU gets blown out by Hawaii to close the regular season, and then they sputter in the Liberty Bowl and lose to Louisville by 3+ scores. It was that comma punctuation there, the ellipses, where it's like, oh man, it was a great season. But if BYU loses to Duquesne, it will be the same type of scenario. Now, if the Cougars win one game, then you just put a period there. BYU beat Duquesne. That was an awesome season, and BYU won an NCAA tournament game. Period. The end. We can all be happy. If you want the exclamation point, it's going to take more than one win. So how do the Cougars adequately punctuate the season? You have to win at least one to avoid sputtering out and the but at the end of that sentence. The exclamation point would be BYU getting to their third ever Sweet 16. All right, you've heard what I had to say. Now some responses from you, because you're a huge part of what's trending here. Elliot Brown is in first on X. He says, based on the season BYU's had, they need to win at least one game. Expectations have changed. I agree, they have changed. And that's a good thing. Losing in the first round would end the season without punctuation. Yeah, there's that trailing off. Elliot agrees with me. The comma, the ellipses. What a great season. But it kind of just didn't end well. Some.BYUDude on X also answers, this season is already a success. Nobody thought preseason BYU would end up here. There's truth in that. There is truth in that, but this is an evolving conversation. He continues, however, losing to Duquesne would probably put a sour ending on it. Beat Duquesne, and there is no sour ending. No shame in losing to a 3 seed, speaking of Illinois, if BYU gets to that, in the tournament. By the way, are we all together collectively Morehead State fans? The 14th seed to beat Illinois. If BYU gets past Duquesne, maybe there's one of those just eye-opening upsets in Omaha. Maybe it's Morehead State, who's a pretty good team. And Sean Farnham told us yesterday, ESPN analyst, this is not going to be anything close to a walk in the park for Illinois against Morehead State. So, if you want the easiest path to Sweet 16, BYU beats Duquesne and then root for Morehead State to take down the Big Ten tournament champions, Illinois. Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join that conversation. Again, I'm flying solo in Studio B. I rely heavily on your commentary. Jerem Jordan doing good work in Omaha. And it is time now, you've waited long enough, to get to Debbie Antonelli, CBS college basketball analyst, speaking with Jerem from Omaha to preview the Dukes and Cougars in March Madness.
Debbie, thanks for joining BYUSN. I think Cougar fans are excited to have you on the call. One, because you're good, but two, you called the game at Kansas, so there's some good vibes there for BYU, we think.
Hey, if anybody thinks I'm good luck, well, at this time of year, I'll take it. I was in Allen Fieldhouse on that upset with BYU over Kansas, so it's great to be with you guys.
First off, let's start about talk about the most important topic at hand right now. How about your NC State Wolfpack and the run they just made in the ACC tournament, by the way? BYU won that game in November in Vegas, and we didn't think it'd be as good of a win as it ended up being.
How about the Wolfpack? What a win for the fans. I mean, five straight days to do what Kevin Keats' team did, and I thought they kept getting better each time they stepped on the floor, not getting more tired or slower or changing the pace. To beat the Blue Bloods in the ACC that they beat along that five-game stretch, when you look at Louisville, Syracuse, Virginia, Duke, North Carolina, it can't be sweeter for NC State fans.
That's a heck of a run. Duquesne feeling pretty good about the run they made as well. They've won eight in a row, or five in a row, you know, in the tourney in the A-10. Now they match up with BYU. What are some of your initial thoughts about BYU and Duquesne in round one here?
Well, first of all, Keith Dambratt's been a great ambassador in our game and has won at a high level for a long time. So we wish him well in his retirement. And I'm sure the BYU fans are ready to send him off to an earlier retirement. He's got a great backcourt. He's got good guards. The A-10 had a fantastic year in basketball, so I expect them to compete. However, BYU, as you guys know, is one of the deepest with a great bench. They shoot the three. I love their space and pace. I love their transition game. And I think when Khalifa's in the game, it's one space and one way of playing. And then when Traore comes in, it's a little bit different. There's a lot of ways that they can beat you on the offensive end, and I think being a sixth seed is a perfect spot for them.
Ultimately, BYU was a five in the seed line, got pushed to a six with different bracketing principles and whatnot. Kansas in Salt Lake probably pushed BYU out of there. I know the Cougars were hoping for that. And then Kevin McCullough is not playing in the tournament. That was some big news. And I wonder if it would have affected BYU seeding, Debbie, if the committee had known that Kevin was not playing for Kansas. But in the end, I think it's probably a good game for BYU versus some of the 12 seeds that we've seen in this tournament that could be very dangerous. Duquesne could be dangerous too, but I don't want anything to do with those 12s.
Yeah, I don't blame you. And yes, bracketing principles certainly might have been compromised for other reasons, but you know, that's the thing about the NCAA tournament. After we all watched what happened to Florida State in the college football playoffs, I don't think anybody wants to disclose any injuries, plus with HIPAA and all the other things. It's the same thing on the women's side. We've seen that as well. We know about injuries that aren't disclosed to protect their seeding. And, you know, you got to give it to Kansas. I think Kevin McCullough did everything he could to try to play. It's a big miss for him. It's a big miss for fans of college basketball. But I got to believe that you have to like your seeding. I mean, it's an excellent opportunity to match up against Duquesne with how much respect the committee had for the A-10. And I think this is going to be a really fun way to start off the tournament.
We're talking to Debbie Antonelli on BYU Sports Nation. What's the key to kind of elbowing Avery Johnson for a little more audio time during this tournament?
Oh, I think we're going to have a great team. I mean, Tom McCarthy and Avery and I can't wait to get going, along with A.J. Ross, who's our reporter. This is going to be fun. I mean, you know, as much prep and everything that we've done, you know, when you're at home on Sunday night and you're waiting for your assignment from CBS, you're hoping in some ways that you're going west and you got a Friday just because it gives you an extra day of prep. But I will tell you, I'm ready. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and for CBS, this is my eighth year on the men's tournament. So this is a new partnership for all of us, but we're very excited about it. We spent some time together last night, and just like teams on the court, the team off the court on the sideline has to have great chemistry, and I'm not worried. I anticipate us having a lot of fun.
You went to four NCAA tournaments, multiple Sweet 16s as a player. What are some of the key principles of making a run in a tournament like this to you?
Well, focus is the number one thing, right? You've already earned your spot here, so you don't need to prove anything in terms of seeding or expectation. I think, you know, when you're one of the top 68 teams, especially on the men's side, you've played a great body of work to get yourself here. So I think staying focused is really important. And then I think the number one thing about NCAA tournament play when it's survive in advance is the game shrinks. You know, everything shortens. Transition points, the court shrinks. Gaps get tighter. You got to make plays in smaller spaces. And that's why it's so important to have great guard play. And if you got good guard play, and you guys do, Dallin Hall is fantastic on the top of the floor, the way he runs and manages your team. If you don't have good guard play, it's a problem. But I really believe that that is what happens in March, is that's the way the games go. That's the tendency. And you better have some good guards that can score.
Give me the scenario for each team, BYU and Duquesne, where if this happens, I think they would win the game.
Well, for Duquesne, I think they got to match the number of threes that BYU is going to make, and they got to be able to sustain playing at the pace that BYU is going to play, because they don't have the same kind of depth. Their interior game is not quite what BYU has, and I know you're laughing because most people don't think BYU has a traditional back-to-the-basket post game. They don't, and that's part of the reason why their style of play is so conventional. I think Khalifa's got to have a big game as well, pending his matchup with Mohorcic inside for Duquesne. And I think BYU's going to – I mean, I'm hoping they set an NCAA record for number of threes. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to look it up before I go over to the gym.
It's going to be fun. BYU likes to chuck it up, and certainly they've been good at that. And they're interesting, Debbie, because when Ali is out there, Khalifa, there's five shooters on the court. You don't have that a ton. And then BYU feels like whoever they bring off the bench, they can shoot two. Live and die by the three is something that certainly BYU has lived on quite a bit. They're going to shoot more threes than twos when the season ends, probably. There's risk in that, but also there's a lot of reward. So what are you expecting from the Cougars in that regard?
Well, here's what I love about one of the things that I think is so great about BYU, and this takes a lot of time to build, and obviously it's an older team, but you got seven guys that have scored between 9 and 14 points. That's great balance and depth. You've got seven different guys that have scored 20 or more points. That's great balance and depth. So you can absorb maybe a poor shooting night. Even in the Texas Tech game in the Big 12 tournament, I thought when they made that run, if they had made a couple more shots, that they had good looks. They're going to shoot a lot of threes, yes, but when Khalifa's on the floor, the spacing is different because he operates and facilitates from the high post. When Traore's on the floor, it's a little bit different in space. Those are the things that I'll be looking for as I watch the game. And I'm anxious to see and get started, just like the players and coaches. We're all excited about this time of year, and we should be. And, you know, Mark Pope has done a fantastic job. I can just tell you, I witnessed the elation by him and his players in Allen Fieldhouse, and you just sort of knew, you could see the connectivity of the guys, and you could definitely tell from Mark, because he had never been in Allen Fieldhouse as a player or a coach. He had only stopped through on a recruiting trip, what it meant to him and his program to be in the first year of the Big 12 to get that win. So you can see how tight these guys are, how much they care, and how fun they are to watch. So I'm expecting a deep run for them.
And let's say it is chalk, that it is BYU and Illinois. What do you think of that potential matchup in the second round between BYU and the Big Ten champs?
Oh, for someone like me who loves offense, I see the game through an offensive lens. Are you kidding me? I mean, this could be really fun and very entertaining. Both teams get up and down. They've got three guys that can score. Actually, their three guys score 74 of their 84 points. And I'm talking about Shannon, Domask, and Hawkins. So it's going to be fun. That's what we love, right? This is the part about March Madness that, you know, as much work and everything that we do, this is the fun part for fans, because you get to see matchups you wouldn't typically see and styles of play that you really enjoy watching.
What's your favorite part about day one, the first round, calling four games in a day?
I love to, at that point, you know, believe that I've done all the work, just like the players. I put the reps in. I've got everything ready. I'm organized. I've got some points that I'm looking for. There's things and tendencies I've studied on film. I'm hoping they play out so that I can share those with the fans. That's what you hope for. I mean, you know, I have a list of things, and if they get in, they do. And if they don't, they don't. It's not a force. So I want to, you know, enjoy the games, enjoy the atmosphere, try to take in all the pageantry of it, try to remember how much fun this is, even though all the work that comes with it in the late nights and early mornings that we've had leading into it, it's no different than the players. You know, I'll have jitters. I'll be, you know, nervous, but I'll be excited. It'll be anxious nerves. And after doing this for 8 years with CBS, I love being a part of this team across the board. This is a really great team at CBS and Turner that is come together to put these games on. And I don't think there's a better sporting event in the country. And I'm so pleased to be and grateful to be a part of the team.
Well, thanks so much for the time and the insight, and have a great call on Thursday and Saturday.
Thanks. I look forward to seeing you. Thank you so much.
Jerem Jordan with Debbie Antonelli, now 8 years doing this men's basketball tournament. She's fantastic. Our question of the day, what does BYU need to do in the NCAA tournament to punctuate this historic season? Hashtag BYUSN to join that conversation. And if I may, because I love a good meal at a restaurant, draw a parallel. This season has been, collectively, an incredible appetizer, delicious beverages, and one of the best steaks you've ever eaten, not to mention the delectable side dishes that you've just never really experienced before. As for the dessert, well, figuratively speaking, we're about to find out what that's all about, because the dessert is the NCAA tournament. If BYU loses, then clearly it was disappointing. A dry chocolate cake, whatever, and it leaves you feeling unfulfilled. Now, if BYU wins, the dessert was pretty good. Nice end of the meal. Now, if BYU gets to the Sweet 16, my friends, you have just eaten one of the greatest creme brulees or greatest pieces of cheesecake that your taste buds have ever encountered. Wouldn't that be something? We are all excited about the dessert that is forthcoming at the NCAA tournament to end this unbelievable meal of a season. Dry cake, pretty good, or something that changes your life. We shall see. Up next, as 6-seed BYU plays 11-seed Duquesne tomorrow in the first round, the NCAA tournament, we need to remind you that, yes, there is much more today, including Fouche Traore, but Jimmer Fredette will join him for the Altcast tomorrow as we get to experience the tournament live on this show for at least about the first 15, 20 minutes of the game. And yes, joining Foose with Jerem Jordan is Trevin Nell, both live from Omaha, as our unique BYU Sports Nation continues right after this.
Good afternoon, Cougar basketball fans.
Jackson Robinson. And Dallin Hall slams it home.
They're rising up.
Nobody stopped the ball.
That's how you score it.
Go Cougs. Go Cougs indeed. We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, hanging out solo in Studio B while Jerem Jordan is in Omaha gathering interviews. And we will go live to him for a live looking at BYU's practice in about 15 to 20 minutes. Now, as I mentioned, Jerem has been gathering multiple interviews already in a very busy day. And we will begin with his one-on-one with the Cougars' big man, Fouche Traore, who I believe will have an opportunity against one of the smallest teams in the country, 284th smallest team in the country, according to the Ken Pomeroy Index, in fact. So will we see a lot of Fouse? Here's Jerem Jordan with Mr. Traore.
All right, Fouse, what's it like to be here at the NCAA tournament, man?
Man, it's actually one of the best feeling ever, you know. That's actually a lot for our guy. That's our first time here, you know, being able to participate in March Madness. So we're just super excited.
Did you see March Madness growing up? Was this a thing that you envisioned, or did that come later?
No, actually never see until I got here, you know. When I got here my first time, you know, and that summer we went to watch a lot of March Madness game, you know, so I just say.
At Wasatch?
At Wasatch. Yeah. I say, man, that's one of the best feeling ever, you know. Yeah.
And here we are. You played with one of the guys with Duquesne, right?
Yeah.
What's his name again?
I actually played with Matush.
Matush, that's right. Does he have the scouting report on you and Richie then? And you have it on him?
Well, I guess we were actually talking about it yesterday. You know, we said we're just super excited to play against each other and see each other again, you know.
You were texting?
Yeah, we were texting last night. Yeah. It was good.
And they have a Foose as well from your hometown.
Yeah.
Now, your hometown's what, 3 million people? So maybe you don't know, maybe you know him. Do you know him?
Well, I used to know because he's like 2 years older than me, you know.
Yeah.
But he used to play with the national team, you know, like the oldest team, and I was in the youngest team. So that's how I know him a little bit, you know.
Is Foose a common name, or you just happen to have the same name?
No, Fusen is actually a twin name, because the Foose here is actually a twin, you know. But I'm not a twin, though, because I was named after my dad's brother, who was a twin, you know.
Who was a twin.
Yeah. But those guys are twin, though, you know.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you're trying to be the best Foose in the game tomorrow?
Yes, I'm going to be a big Foose. Yeah.
What will a successful NCAA tournament look like for you guys?
I feel like we just got to stay us, you know, like just play aggressive, you know, like wedging every single time, you know, like just playing hard and play for each other.
Do you feel rested since it's been a week since you played?
Oh yeah, we're super rested and just excited to go.
What will the key be to besides wedging and rebounding to winning in the first round?
Well, we just like it's for sure. We gotta play defense. Defense is one of the main key, you know, and just don't ever back down. You know, always stay on our toes, you know, and just keep going.
Thanks for the time and good luck.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you. Appreciate it, my guy.
Fouche Traore, clearly a Mark Pope disciple. When asked, like, how do you win? It starts with defense and rebounding. If I had a nickel for every time I heard Mark Pope scream rebound from the sidelines this year, I would be a very rich man. An interesting note as we move into the second interview featuring Trevin Nell. Trevin is one of just two BYU players on the current roster that have NCAA tournament experience, going back to that game against UCLA in 2021. Trevin played 11 minutes, didn't score. Spencer Johnson played 16 minutes. He had 1 point. So 1 point and 27 minutes between the entirety of this current BYU roster that have experienced March Madness. And even then, did they really experience it? There were no fans. It was all in Indianapolis. This will be an entirely different circumstance. And I'm super excited for these BYU guys to get that full experience, especially Trevin and Spencer, who got a taste of it, but they didn't really get the full measure of this. So now we go to Trevin Nell, one of those guys that can tell his team, in a way, what it's like to play a tournament game. And again, with BYU as a six seed, just like they were back in 2021. Here's Jerem Jordan with Trevin Nell.
All right, Trevin, what's it been like at the NCAA tournament so far?
It's been fun. It's been fun to connect with the guys. We got here last night, so we've had like a night to kind of recoup on, you know, the travels. But today's been super fun, be able to be in the gym and, you know, practice and get ready for this game. It's been fun with, you know, guys that have been to the NCAA tournament before. We have Fouche, you know, awing over the police escort. He thought we were celebrities. But yeah,
kind of are, right?
Kind of, I guess. But it's been super fun for sure.
What's a successful tournament going to look like for this team, in your opinion?
Well, a lot of people just doubted us like from the get-go. So to be able to be here and prove a lot of people wrong, like we live in that space of being the underdog. And so for us, it's just, you know, to continue to make that run and continue to, you know, play to our expectations. So that's what I think is going to make us, you know, feel successful at the end of the day.
What are the expectations for you guys?
I mean, everybody's expectation is to win it, right? So we're going in. We're going to have that mindset. Duquesne is a really, really special team. They're really, really talented. So it's going to be a challenge, but we're really excited for it.
What is most challenging about them?
They have really two dynamic guards. They cut really hard, play really hard. All of our scouting is just like, these guys are hard playing dudes. So credit to them. We're going to have to match their energy, and it's going to be a fun one for sure.
Do you believe in momentum in the scout? Like, hey, these guys just won the A-10. They've won 8 in a row. They're hot right now. We've got to show up against something like that?
Yeah, for sure. Like, this team, a lot of people think, like, they might overlook different teams, but that's not us. So we know Duquesne's a really, really special team. They've been playing their best basketball, probably best basketball out of anybody in the college right now. So we're going to have to match that energy and match their style of play.
Since you've been to the tourney before, what insights have you offered or will you offer to the team in terms of what it's like to be here? Granted, that was in the COVID one. It was kind of weird, right? This is like a full normal one.
For sure. Well, everybody's already talking about this box that we have in the middle of the room. They're like, what's that? They're all looking at me like I should be like the grandfather to know everything. But it's fun. I always tell every guy, like, hey, every game that we play in the NCAA tournament is going to be the hardest game we've ever played. And so to have that mindset going forward is going to really help us.
What did playing in the Big 12 do for you in terms of getting to this moment? And, hey, we've been in a lot of big games this year versus maybe years past where there were big games, but not as many as this year.
For sure. It just shows that, like, we're fearless, right? Like, we're going in. We're not going to overlook anybody, and we're not going to back down to anybody. So the fearless mindset is something that we definitely, you know, learned going into the Big 12, and that we can also play with anybody, and that the physicality is going to really help us, because I just feel like in the NCAA tournament, every team's going to be physical. Everything's going to be really hard. But to be able to have that Big 12 behind our back to, you know, help us get to this point is going to be huge.
Besides making threes, what do you have to do to win tomorrow?
You got to play defense. This team's really, again, super talented. So we got to play defense. We got to really lock in. And we got to be ready to play all these actions that they have. So it's going to be a fun one for everybody, for sure.
Back to the motivations you talked about. Is there motivation for this team? And you guys have thrived off of no one thought we could do this, or we're not in the AP poll now, or you've had a lot of moments like that, right? What is it now, and does it have anything to do with seeding? Like, oh, we were 17, but we're a 6, and whatever.
I mean, yes, for sure. I mean, we're always gonna play with a chip on our shoulder a little bit. When we saw that 6 seed, we're excited to be here for sure. But we're definitely gonna play with a little chip on our shoulder. A lot of people are still counting us out, so it's gonna be fun to live in that space and continue to prove a lot of people wrong.
What were you hoping for?
We're always hoping for to play in Salt Lake. You know, that would be super fun, a lot of fun for the fans. But again, we're in Omaha. It's a great place. We're playing Crane's gym, so it's a shooter's gym, so I like it.
Well, best of luck out there. All the karma I can give you, and have fun.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, to paraphrase Trevin Nell there, we will not overlook anyone, and we won't be intimidated by any team we face. Of course, you've got to match that effort and energy that Duquesne will bring, especially when they get after it on the defensive side, because they like to turn teams over for sure. All right, BYU women's basketball also should not be overlooked. They are in their own postseason tournament in the WBIT. First game tomorrow at Santa Clara, 9 Eastern tip. Listen live, Jason Shepherd with the call on BYU Radio. Up next, today's headlines and more. All access coverage from Omaha after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day. Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. Jerem Jordan will join us once again from Omaha in just a moment. Let's roll out today's headlines, beginning with, of course, BYU men's basketball. Practicing today in Nebraska in preparation for tomorrow's NCAA tournament opening round game against the Dukes of Duquesne. A 6-11 matchup, 11:40 a.m. Central Time tip. That's 10:40 Mountain Time. We'll take a live look into BYU's practice in just a few minutes. And as I mentioned, welcome in Jerem Jordan from Omaha. The Big 12 Conference announcing yesterday that BYU football's home game against Oklahoma State will take place on Friday night, October 18th. This marks BYU's second Friday night game of the season, coupled with a road game at SMU in early September. On to baseball, where the Batcats beat Utah Tech 11-6 last night in St. George. The Batcats using an 8-run second inning to take a 9-1 lead. 8 runs in an inning, that is serious aluminum abuse. Crew Robinson and Cahill Aloy continue to swing hot bats. They each hit a home run last night. With the victory, BYU improves to 10-8 on the season. They're rolling a little bit now. Series win against Houston as well. The Cougars will play a 3-game series in Lubbock at Texas Tech this weekend as they jump back into Big 12 play, beginning with Game 1 tomorrow. And finally, some gymnastics news. Kylie Equinto of the Gymcats named the Big 12 Event Specialist of the Week after scoring a career-high 9.975 on the floor. She got a 10 from one judge. That happening in Seattle. Equinto and BYU will compete in the Big 12 Championships this weekend in Norman, Oklahoma, hosted by the number one ranked gymnastics team in the country, the Sooners. Those are today's headlines. Now we continue our coverage from Omaha. Jerem, moments ago, speaking with who I believe is the most important player on BYU's roster for everything that he does to align the Cougars on offense, get people in the right positions on defense, and just his playmaking ability. It is point guard Dallin Hall with Jerem.
All right, Dallin, we're here at the NCAA tournament, man. You grew up dreaming of this moment. What's it been like so far?
It's been cool, man. We had a really good practice this morning, some media, and just being here with my teammates, my brothers, you know, that's all you can ask for.
You're telling me in the public practice on the court you're not going to run the actual sets that you're using against Duquesne? That's all for show.
We're just going to stay true to who we are, you know, and obviously they're really good defensively, but just got to stay true to the team we've been all year and trust that that's going to work here in the postseason.
How are the emotions being here, getting excited but also kind of locked in to winning the game?
Yeah, I think just taking that excitement, you know, transitioning it into the energy that leads to winning, you know. Sometimes in areas like this, it's easy to get caught up in everything that's going on, but really just taking that extra energy and focusing it into the concepts that help us win is the key for us.
Feel rested since it's been almost a week since you played?
Yeah, for sure. You know, our coaches have managed it well, our practices, and so we're excited to get out there on the floor tomorrow.
What are you most excited about with this particular matchup against Duquesne?
I think just the challenge that their defensive physicalness presents, as well as their slower pace, and it's going to challenge us to be engaged for 30 seconds each possession and to get stops, and then we'll be able to get out and play our game.
They call Jimmy Clark the Pittsburgh Steeler. You're hoping to not give any away, I assume.
No, yeah, for sure. You know, I played against a lot of elite defensive guards, and so I'm excited for the matchup tomorrow because, you know, as a point guard, that's all you can hope for is to play against the best.
Besides making threes, what else do you feel like BYU needs to do to win?
We got to win the rebound battle, and then we got to be really good defensively on guarding our yard and being there on the catch.
What's the March Madness memory growing up that really sticks out that you enjoyed?
Obviously, there's Jimmer, you know, going crazy in March Madness. I think probably the one that sticks out in my mind the most is UConn's run with Kemba Walker. I just remember that one vividly for some reason. But Jimmer's, for BYU fans, like, that's one of the biggest in their minds.
Three morning games in a row. Are you getting used to this now?
Yeah, man. I'm becoming a morning person already, so well, let's go.
You haven't been home that long from your mission. Are you a morning person or a night person now that you've been back a couple years?
Basketball has kind of forced me to be a morning person, but before I was always kind of a night guy.
How many college students are morning people?
Not that many, right?
I wouldn't think so.
They're all in the business school, walking into the Tanner Building probably.
All the smart ones.
Well, best of luck and have fun, man.
Appreciate you. Thanks, Jeremy.
Dallin seems locked in, does he not? I shouldn't expect anything less. Again, he's the guy that gets this BYU engine rolling. He's the captain of what I'm calling the BYU bounce back specialists. They have shown that they can do it again after a tough loss. A friendly reminder to check out the latest Deep Blue podcast featuring BYU athletic director Tom Holmo as he discusses his own conversion to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, his NFL and coaching careers, and the legacy he hopes to leave at BYU. That and more, find it wherever you get your podcasts. Up next, we'll take our first look into BYU's practice. Live from Omaha, the Dukes are leaving the court right now. Those are live pictures from inside the arena. What did Jerem see from Duquesne in their shoot around? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
You know what? You know what that screams to me?
Boost!
All the way to the basket.
It's been a magical run. They've won eight straight. They got back to the tournament.
You guys got to shoot it well. Duquesne's good on defense, top 30 defense.
I think the Cougars are absolutely going to obliterate Duquesne.
Well, strong words from Sean Farnham. Obliterate the Dukes. Rebounding the basketball. We shall see. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B in Provo, Utah, and live from Omaha, Nebraska. So let's go live to Jerem Jordan, who is courtside as
Omaha.
BYU gets set to take the floor. Yes, Jerem, it's been a busy morning for all of us. You've been gathering interviews. You had a moment to size up the Dukes a little bit. I know you didn't see a ton of their practice, but just at first glance, what'd you think of what Duquesne puts on the floor?
Yeah, I sat in the press conference with the players and coach and then watched a little bit here and then went into the locker room, did the interviews, came back out. This is fun and awesome. It's just fun to be here, Spence. Obviously, the NCAA tournament is special. You've been to a bunch. It's just cool to be in the tourney. Duquesne's certainly excited to be in the tournament after a long wait, 1977. Coaches retiring this week. They got certainly a lot of motivation, but watching them on the court, excited to be out here. No one shows what they're actually going to do in this public practice. This is open to the media and fans. There are just a smattering of fans in the stands here today, but as BYU walks in as we speak, Ali Khalifa and Trevin Nell to my left, your right. But BYU is going to, they already practiced. They just practiced at Creighton's practice facility. Came over and did media, now they're going to do this. This is more of a public showing, a walkthrough, chance for the broadcasters to see the team. Mark, Mark, we're live right now. You got anything for Cougar Nation?
Yes. Are we on Sports Nation?
We're on right now.
The greatest sports television show in America.
I love it. Good luck, brother. Mark Pope, he was born here. And that's what going live on TV courtside can do, which is really fun. But, yeah, Spence, BYU's excited to be here, but very focused in the locker room, as you've seen in some of these interviews. Dallin Hall and Jackson Robinson had their game faces on. Those two in particular, and Spencer Johnson, as the veterans, the leaders, and Trevenel seem to be dialed in on, we're not just excited to be here. We got to actually win this game tomorrow.
Yeah, nothing like Mark Pope, who can make you just feel great. There was no hyperbole.
You know, all season, bro.
No hyperbole. Greatest sports show on television right now. You mentioned that Dallin and Trevin are locked in. And I said as much right after the interview. I was like, whoa, Dallin seems locked in. He seems like he is really focused. And Trevin with the following statement, and I paraphrase, we're not going to overlook anyone, and we won't be intimidated by anyone. I thought that was a really telling comment because, and I believe him because of what BYU has faced this season. Like, should I believe him? What do you think?
We would like to think so, right? No BYU team has gone through the rigors of a schedule like this one. They played in some huge game at some huge venues. They're not going to play a true road game the rest of the year. They're certainly sitting on a disappointing loss against Texas Tech, but as you have pointed out and we've talked about, BYU's ability to bounce back has been tremendous, and I think they are motivated and excited, and they have that like little bit of motivating thing like, oh, we were a six seed, should have been a five, I don't know, which the Kevin McCullers thing, by the way, Kansas
Man.
Held close to the vest, got the seed they wanted.
Come
Would that
on!
Have changed things for BYU? Probably not, but it is pretty interesting, is it not? So I'm excited to see what BYU can do. They certainly... To the question of the day, which we can just go right into right now, what does BYU need to do in this tournament? They need to win one game at least.
Yep.
Like, if they don't win a game, it was an awesome regular season. That's not going to discount that. Winning at Kansas, amazing. Finishing fifth, amazing. You were 13th. All of that's great. Don't get me wrong. You got to win on this court tomorrow morning. Otherwise, it's just kind of a sour taste to what was a tremendous season.
Yes, and sour taste is an appropriate phrase because you're busy doing work. I compared it to a meal, Jeremy. This is the greatest set of appetizers and a steak dinner and side dishes and delicious beverages. The season has been all of that. Dessert, we wait to eat. The NCAA tournament is the dessert. Is it going to be awful dry chocolate cake, or is it going to be pretty good, or maybe something super special when you eat the best piece of cheesecake you've ever had and BYU gets to the Sweet 16? Like, there is real effect in this punctuating the season. Yeah, like we don't want to have the scenario where we say that was an amazing season, but like, we don't want that. Like, if BYU wins a game, we don't have to do that, don't you think?
Right. Yes, we need to see a win here tomorrow, and if BYU only wins one, it is enough. If they win two, now it's spectacular. Now it's top three team in BYU history, and you could make an argument, you know, they cracked top two or maybe even the best, given how hard the Big 12 was. But you define seasons by postseason play, Spence. We don't talk about the great regular season teams that did nothing in the postseason. We talk about the teams that do stuff in the postseason, and this team needs to do something in the postseason. I'm confident they will. But it's always a little scary when you're so dependent on three-pointers. Yet, BYU's been good for the majority of the season. You just don't hope they don't have two clunkers in a row, which they haven't really. So the confidence that you and I have going into this game, and I think BYU as well, is there's no way we're going to play like we did against Texas Tech. Now, granted, Duquesne does play great defense. So we'll see. They hold teams down from the three-point line, but BYU's motivated, excited, and I think they've got the kind of team and the kind of seed, which is the key to winning in the NCAA tournament most of the time, that elevates you to a win.
Yeah, and to add to the bounce back ability conversation, and you said BYU typically doesn't follow up a bad game with another clunker. Like, the last time BYU lost two games
they're
in a row.
They're having fun back here, by the way.
Two games in a row. They lose at Texas Tech in Lubbock and blow the 17-point lead, but then they take Houston to the wire. Okay, so even though BYU lost that second game in a row, they took Houston down to the wire before they beat Texas. So they have showed some real resilience. Now, there is a lot of hoopla, and the whole experience is engaging, and you want the team to have fun. So how do you feel like guys like Trevenel and Spencer Johnson, with their limited experience in that unique scenario with no fans, can help a team like this? Or is that too much to ask from them, Jeremy? Is this just like something they need to like experience as a team because this is new for basically everybody?
Yeah, I don't think it matters that much, honestly. And I did ask Jackson Robinson, who was on the bench for Arkansas to the Elite Eight, like, what did you learn from that ride? And there are certainly principles and values you could kind of pocket from that. But ultimately, this team this year has gone through a bunch of NCAA tournament games, Spence. Yes, it's not the bright lights of March Madness here in Omaha, but like playing Houston at home, playing at Baylor, playing at Kansas, playing at Texas Tech, those are all tourney-type games. In fact, they're harder in a way because you're playing a true road team. So this BYU team, with its experience, its average age of 22.7, guys who obviously, like we've talked about, have been on missions and that whole thing. Now is when we hope it actually matters, right? That, yes, if you've been to the tourney, that helps. But St. Peter's didn't have anybody that had played in the tourney, right? Or did they, like a transfer? I don't know. Those guys went to the Elite Eight. Like, you just got to play tomorrow's game, win that game, move on, continue. And BYU's got the pieces to do something special. And if they don't, it'd be a real disappointment because this team is minimum one game good and maximum, hey, several. Let's go.
We all want the delicious dessert, Jerem. We all want it. Okay, a quick thought before we go to break. Now, you mentioned if BYU struggles to shoot the three, clearly that has not bode well for the Cougars. But Duquesne's not a very big team. And to add to our conversation yesterday, is this where Foos could make an impact? Let's say the outside shot is not dropping. Do you feel like Foos, Traore specifically, could help in that regard, get some buckets inside?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is, you're spot on. I think this is a game where Foos needs to have like 14 plus. And it could be a low-ish scoring game. What I mean by that is like low 70s as opposed to BYU's 80 a game. Duquesne does a nice job on defense, top 30 in the country. But yeah, Foos is hoping to have like a 15 and 10, I bet. And he told me in the locker room that, hey, we got to hit first. We got to rebound. We got to come out. And, you know, they felt like they, quote, got punked, right, against Texas Tech. Well, hey, do the punking against Duquesne in the first round tomorrow, man.
All right, great stuff, Jerem. Stick around. We're coming back with a couple of Big 12 bracketology projections after the break and get to at least one more of your elite responses to our question of the day on how BYU punctuates this season adequately. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live in Provo, Utah, in Studio B, and Jerem Jordan live from Omaha, Nebraska, where the Cougars are practicing on the floor behind him. Now some Big 12 bracketology projections, if you will. Okay, Jerem, how many Big 12 teams do you expect to win a first-round game out of the eight?
Okay, now that I've been on camera for like 3 seconds, I'm going to get out of the way so you can watch BYU practice here. Okay. I think 7 of the 8 win. I think Kansas loses in the first round, Spence, but I have everybody else going. And then I have 2 in the Final Four, bro. I have Baylor and Houston.
Woo! Okay. I'm going with 6 out of the 8 to win a first round game, so not too much behind you. But within those teams, I think you already answered the question, which Big 12 team do you have on upset alert? That would clearly be Kansas, right?
Yeah. Who are the two you have losing?
So NC State is tricky. Like, I know that Texas Tech's really good, but NC State is a tough matchup for Tech. So I've got Texas Tech on upset alert and certainly Kansas. And I just think law of average is like there may be somewhere. Like, Colorado State could beat Texas too. Like, Colorado State is a good defensive team, as they showed last night, although Virginia was just otherworldly bad. But I think that 6 will ultimately advance, but I've got those 3 teams that could potentially be upset in the first round. All right, Jerem, great stuff. Much more with you tomorrow, and I know you'll be working hard and gathering stuff throughout the rest of the day. We'll talk to you again soon, brother. Take care.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, our question of the day, what does BYU need to do in the NCAA tournament to punctuate their historic season? At Jerem Said Change on X. Who is this handle? Is this another Jerem Burner? The season is already a success. First round win is a cherry on top. In order to join the historic ranks, BYU needs to make it to the second weekend. If the Cougars are still playing basketball next weekend, we can put the season in the top 3 behind 1981 and Jeremania. You know, that does sound a lot like Jerem right there and something he just said. So I'm going to have to ask him about the this account, and he's giving this information to somebody else. Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes from BYU 4 Trey on X, who says, just win one game. That's it. If BYU wins one game, they'll be a top 10 basketball team all time. Get to the Sweet 16, and they'll be the third best BYU basketball team ever. Hey, today's Rise and Shout-Out, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. It goes to BYU student Braden Cook, who hand paints his bracket every year. Look at that. How cool is that? Well done, Braden. Our thanks to today's guest, Debbie Antonelli, and Jerem from Omaha. Sorry to Dennis Pitta. For Jerem, I am Spencer. Tournament day tomorrow. Go Cougs!